Oh, there you are.
You've been waiting for all week, probably all year. Everybody wants to watch this show. So anyway, how's Steve doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Fred. I can't complain. I got my computer working.
Can you see me now?
No, I can't.
Why not?
I don't know. It was on. I just saw you, and now I'm not seeing you.
Well, are you on Ustream?
It says Ustream here.
Yeah.
Something's happening. Oh, there it goes. Okay, I see you now.
Okay.
I see you got your little black hat on there. I see it. Nice. Oh.
How'd you like that?
That was cool.
Now you saw my Christmas tree, huh?
That's incredible.
All I want for Christmas is my drag strip to go with it.
Where are you close to? Lions drag strip?
Yeah, well, Lions doesn't exist anymore. None of them do anymore. The only thing left is Pomona, and we're pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Lions is over in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Was. You know, C.J. Hart. You know, that's C.J. Hart was a dear friend of mine. He handed me two world championship trophies, and he, in 1947, made drag racing legal. You know, he started Lions Drag Strip. It was the very first drag strip ever in the world.
Really?
Yeah, 1947.
That's cool.
I raced on it in the 60s. CJ was in his prime of his life. What fun we had for Prudhomme, and everybody was there, you know.
Yeah.
Prophet and Snake and Shirley Muldoon and all the gang, you know.
Yep. Yep. I lent my brother my 1407 Cobra. I lent my Cobra to my brother, and he's just been having an absolute ball with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's having
really
a lot
trust
of fun
your brother.
No, he's a good boy. He's a good boy.
What are you driving?
Well, he had a 930 turbo, so I'm pretty well sure he can handle this.
930 course turbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not as fast as that Cobra.
No, it's not as fast as a Cobra at all.
Not as torquey either, you know. You got a lot more torque in the...
Yeah, but he's a good kid, and he enjoyed it yesterday immensely.
How long does he get it for?
He can have it till Sunday evening.
You're not even going to use it on the weekend, huh?
Well, no, I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff this weekend. We have a big festival coming up, and I need to take some people down to the lake, so... I told him I'd lend him the Cobra for the weekend. he'll have a good time with it.
What lake are you going to be going down to?
Lake Ontario. We're having a big show there, in terms of the big the tall ships, and you know, so we'll have a lot of fun. I'll take my bike down, and you know, we'll ride it around. It'll be a lot of fun.
So which town, which part of Lake Ontario?
That is on Charlotte Beach. There's a big pier there. It runs out almost a half a mile. And the boats come in and out all the time there. You know, you can sit down and relax and watch all the ships come in, tall ships, small ones. Then there's fireworks tomorrow night and all kinds of arts and crafts. And, you know, so it'll be a nice time.
Now I'm trying to think. Was that near Buffalo or what?
No, actually, it's close. It's about. It's just a little past Rochester, but it is in Rochester, so it's about 10 miles from my house.
Oh, okay.
So I'm about
10
miles from Lake Ontario.
I didn't know Lake Ontario went that far east.
It's pretty close. Actually, if you look at the map, you'll see that Rochester is only maybe about 10 miles from Lake Ontario.
Okay.
And we have Canandaigua Lake about 25 miles from here, so it's really nice.
I used to go to Lake Ontario from Ontario, Canada.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice.
Where you met
cool.
me, remember?
Yes, that's right, in Toronto.
Toronto, rather, yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a lot of fun being with you.
The only problem with that, Lake Ontario at that point is freaking cold that time of year, you know?
It's very cold.
The lake Toronto's warms up, I guess, right?
Well, it's warmed up now. Usually it takes till May before we see any real warmth at all, at the end of May.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. Well, what we got going tonight, buddy?
Just hanging out. I've been trying to get these sound levels better.
Okay.
Been working on a third waterfall. Now, this is the main one coming into the house, you know, coming out of the
right.
property.
Right.
I got about 100 tons of rocks out there, and it's about 8 feet tall, 7 feet tall.
Wow, nice!
So at the very top, I got double pipes coming out, and then waterfall going down the face two different directions from the right.
Yeah,
kind of like the steps on the what was the name of that movie, Gone with the Wind? You know how the staircase is double?
Yeah,
kind of like a waterfall design like that.
Wow, wild!
And then
that's
we've
wild.
Been. Really busy cranking out platinum pieces for people and stuff. I mean,
really?
Yeah. We've sold a lot of platinum pieces lately. It's really interesting. All of a sudden, people are wanting platinum. And if they don't get a solid piece in platinum, they'll at least get a platinum bridge, like the Aunt.
Yeah.
Sold a bunch of those with platinum bridges on them. Boy, are they pretty.
No, they got to be beautiful, Fred. It's got to be absolutely gorgeous.
I don't have one, but I want one, you know?
Yeah.
Right now, I don't even know where my receptor is. I'm wearing one of my trade-ins, silver one with an emerald in it that was traded in.
Right.
So where my receptor went.
That's got to be around the house there somewhere.
Oh, it's around somewhere, but
yeah.
Usually I keep pretty good track of it, but this time I lost it.
Well, you'll find it.
Yeah.
No question about that.
So anyway, what do you think of Vandersloop over there trying to get away with murder?
Excuse me?
What do you think of Vandersloop over there trying to get away with murder?
What's going on? I didn't hear.
You didn't hear? It's in the news everywhere.
Really?
You know the guy that supposedly got Natalie Holloway?
Oh, yes. Yeah, a young kid.
Yeah, well, he killed another girl over in the...
I think it's two of them, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a shame. That's really a crime.
Yeah, doesn't that show you how twisted people are?
Yeah, it's terrible, Fred. It's absolutely ghastly that somebody would do that to a child. Just ghastly.
Yeah,
he was in the paper the other day. He was in handcuffs and foot cuffs and whatever. There's a young guy going to spend the rest of his life in jail. The rest of his life.
Well, he thinks he's going to get out.
Yeah, he'll get out.
Huh?
He'll get out when his days are over.
Yeah, but he's on a technical issue, you know, and but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Hey, we had an earthquake here yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to, you know, it's the energy of the planet right now. How did you like it?
Boy, I'll tell you, I had clients coming in. They were spooked and everything else. I didn't feel it, but my clients felt it. And they said buildings shook and their houses shook. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, well, we have those here a lot, but same thing happened last time we had one here the other day.
Yeah.
Mikkel says she felt it down there in the kitchen, but
wow,
that's a long ways away, and I'm down here with all this irradiator and all these pyramid devices. It just dampened the energy right out.
Yeah.
Probably what happened to you, too. You know, it just sucks the energy right out of an earthquake, converts it into something where you really feel good.
Yep. Yep.
That's what these things do. So.
Well, I'll tell you, before I got on the air, I was getting ready to take this computer and the box that they just gave me and throw it out the window. And then Seth says, why don't you take one of your pyramids,
yeah,
and put it over the box and see what happens. And I'll be darned if it didn't start working.
Yeah, they're amazing, especially when you have the right energy.
That's wild, Fred.
Huh?
That's wild.
I know, but that's the quantum stuff. That's how this stuff works.
Yeah.
People don't believe it until they actually experience it, you know?
Yeah, we were both laughing. I said, this is nuts. I love the laugh. I love the laugh.
I thought that was funny, too. See the person to that.
Yeah.
You know about pyramids. They can sense them real good.
How's
but she wouldn't come out of her house. She's give me a bite instead, so I left her there, you know?
Yeah. How's Mikkel doing?
She's doing good. She's getting ready to have a wedding shower here on the 10th of July.
Really?
Yeah, so she's in there building these wedding cards, these shower cards that have feathers on them.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they're real cute. It's a white card with a black feather on the front.
Is there something I'm missing? Are you guys getting married, or is it just somebody else?
Somebody else right now.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
We've been together long enough to be common law married at this point.
Yeah. She's a nice person. You got a nice girl there.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade her in, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, she works so hard every day.
Yes, she does. Hard working gal.
Yeah,
very
so anyway, a lot of people out there are listening. Hey, that's cooling a little bit here, you know. I don't know if they got me. I don't think they have the Ustream up on the...
My Ustream shut down, so I don't know what that means.
I don't think they have it up on CBS Radio.
Well, I had Ustream. I saw Ustream. I hit the button, and I was waiting for it to make a connection. The only thing it was coming on were TV programs.
Oh, yeah. You gotta type in the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show.
Okay.
And
well, it's not there now, so I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what...
I'm looking at the number of viewers, and I don't see it. But we haven't started the broadcast. That helps. Had it on. That's weird. I wonder it didn't go. It shut itself off. Okay, now you'll get it. It was on. I've had a real problem with Ustream lately. They just screws up. It was
okay.
On. It was running. And now we've got a ton of viewers coming up. And it's coming back. It'll come up on. I don't know why, but it. You know, I've been watching this eagle thing.
Oh,
eagle nest thing.
Huh.
And the Ustream kept cutting out. I think they got technical problems over there because it's on now. But I had it going and it shut itself off. I didn't even touch the button because the button's way off to the side over there, out of my way.
Right.
And while we were broadcasting, it shuts off.
Huh.
Now it's going. Yeah, buddy, see yourself on there now? Yeah, buddy, see yourself on there now? Yeah, now you can even hear me. Turn it off. Yeah, now we're kicking with it. Hey, you're stealing the show.
Hello?
Stealing the show.
Hello, this is Eric.
Yes, hi.
Yeah. Hi, Fred. You mentioned you have a... Hi, Fred.
Hello? Who's calling in?
This is Eric.
Who, Eric?
Yeah.
What can I do?
You mentioned you received five designs.
The what now?
And which two are not, the two that are not on the internet, what do they look like?
I can't quite hear you. You're not talking loud enough. What did you say?
I'll repeat myself. You received five designs, you said, for the new receptor?
Yeah, what about it? Is yours?
I was wondering, the two designs are not on the internet. What do they look like?
Oh, they're on the internet. Which one?
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
I thought you said you received five.
Yeah, and there's three that are on the internet. The other two
What do the other two look like?
I don't know how to describe them. They're one of them looks like a cross, and the other one looks like a musical cleft from a music instrument. So they're still just doing the CNC work on them so we can make bridges. They're not available yet. They'll be out later this year. It takes a lot of effort to make the bridges on these things and a lot of man hours just to make them really like work really well. So you can only do so much at one time. We're a little understaffed. Right, Buddy Boo?
Buddy Boo is on the other side of you, and we can't see Buddy Boo.
Yeah. Is your thing working again now?
Yeah, I can see you, and I'm looking at you, and I'm trying to see Buddy Boo. But Buddy Boo is on your right shoulder.
Yeah, he always
there he is, right there. There he is. He's so pretty.
Yeah, I don't know why. You know, this is the darndest thing with Ustream. The button to turn this thing off, the broadcast, is way off on the wire. I didn't touch it, and it automatically stopped broadcasting.
Really?
Yeah, it's so frustrating. And I've been watching these eagles since March, and they're flying now. These two baby eagles are now flying.
Oh, really?
They have a monitor on their desk, on their nest up in Catalina Island. It's called a Catalina Two Harbor Cam. And with Ustream, it would cut out about every 20 minutes. I mean, they really have problems over there. I don't know what kind of equipment they're using, but I'm not very impressed with them. They could do a lot better than they are. They're not very professional.
It says on the upper right hand side, it says Ustream Live.
Yeah.
So you know, I got everything on and everything, you know, but I'm seeing you and Buddy Boo.
Yeah. Buddy. Now I got the chat room.
Yeah.
I've got a green receptor on. You guys will make. I see the chat room's up now. Eventually, the chat room. You never know. Even the chat room on the Eagle broadcast not there most of the time, and the chat room on my show is now back, and it was gone for almost 2 months. You know, I know everybody was using it, but you hit the chat pop up. You done that, Steve? You hit the chat room pop up on the Ustream, and you'll see everybody talking. You know?
Really?
Yeah, try it. Right up there at the top, where it says chat pop up.
Yeah. See what I got here.
Yeah.
Submit. Truth on command. See.
That should work pretty good for you. All you have, anyhow, what I started to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Eric called in there. I guess Eric, I don't know if Eric's still there or not, but people call me up and they want to talk to me about, you know, technical issues and things that we do and things about my book, but I don't have the time during the day. And when I do a private consultation, it's not very cheap for them to pay for it. I charge quite a bit because I have to get quite a bit. I have a lot of overhead here.
Right.
The nice thing about the radio show and the Ustream show is it's free, you know, for the call-in. But I can't understand why people don't call in there and ask the questions that they ask my secretary, Rebecca, all day long.
Right.
Get a real exchange going. That's what this show is basically dedicated for, is to help people out and get them more knowledgeable about what we do and what's going on in the world. And we entertain just about any question you can throw at us within reason. When I say within reason.
Yeah.
You know, within my reason is probably borders on insanity for most people anyway. So we're not worried too much about what questions people ask. We can always say we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're getting your ad run now?
No, we were having, believe it or not, they were having a problem reaching me, and I didn't know what to say to them. I told them I told them three or four times my internet, and it never came through. So I told them to cancel that out, and I'll put it in the week after labor, the holiday.
Yeah, the holiday so weekend, nobody's going to be doing anything
right.
Anyway.
But
we're
it's
almost getting up into summer now.
New York Times is very expensive, Fred. It's like almost $300 for Sunday alone.
Yeah, that's how big an ad is it? How many words?
It's probably about 20 words. But what I wanted to do was have them send it to me, and then I could send it to you so you could, you know, make sure it was good.
Yeah.
So but I'll do that next week. I'm going to, you know, it'll have to be after the holidays. But they couldn't send it over to my internet. And I gave them my internet for 2 days, and they couldn't do it. So I don't know what's going on with this this whole thing, Fred. This maybe I'm just not a computer person. I don't know. But it seems like I can get here now.
You'll catch on to it eventually.
Yeah.
Fairly simple once you get the hang of it, but it takes a little while.
It's just I'm really doing a lot of energy work now, and that's my mainstay, of course. So I'm using what's happening right now, Fred, is that air is coming through my hands, and I don't know why it's doing that, but people can feel the energy through my hands, through the chakras, going right into their third eye.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, that's cool stuff, and I put my hand over their hand, and it increases the energy of their hands. I could see the chakras opening up, and also the bottom of the chakras of the feet open up. So evidently something is happening with this air that's going through my chakras because it's really opening people up right now. That's the latest thing. I keep thanking God every day because he's giving me all this beautiful energy to work with.
Oh, I know. It's real interesting. I've got some clients out here that are getting hit with this satellite crap.
Okay.
You know, that, what's his name, Dr. John Hall takes care of, the psychiatrist.
Okay. Oh, that's that gentleman talks to a lot of people, yes.
Yeah, he has like 2,000 patients. He's a clinical doctor, clinical psychiatrist. He has 2,000 patients or more with he's asked me to work with him, but I just haven't had the time. You know, I'm working on getting this publisher for my book, the Inside Track book, and we're talking to some big publishers now that are real interested. So it takes a while to get a publishing deal. These publishers run their own race. I don't care how exciting your book is or how many you're selling on the side. You know, they still take their time. You know, the big ones. I mean, you can get a publisher, little people all over the place, but
you
need the bigger publishers to get the word out. So
That
takes. I've never seen that. I have this much paperwork. I have to write some synopsis on every chapter, a marketing strategy, and promotion.
Really?
Tons and tons of pages, and that's what they. Then you have to put it in this black binder, and then you send it into them after you've made contact. Although one publisher is real interested. I can't mention the name. A lot of very famous authors are on that on their roll. On their ledger, so we'll wait and see what happens. That's taking quite a bit of time, and then I've got clients now that are getting hit with this energy, and so we're learning now directly working with the satellite, the people program, how to use the star orb in conjunction with the flamethrower,
right,
in conjunction with some other stuff with real genuine targets.
Wow,
sad to say that, but these are real targets. And it's real interesting. You know, the government's in a strange place. I think they fired that General McChrystal in Afghanistan, and they were just letting people know. I mean, you look at how we're treating Afghanistan versus Iraq. Well, Afghanistan doesn't have any oil,
right?
So if the country doesn't have any oil, why spend money on it? Well, if we're not going to spend money on it, what are we doing there? You know what I mean? So he makes that as a common sense point, and they're not getting support. Troops are getting killed over there that you don't hear about in the news.
Yeah,
but the Iraqi troops, he makes a comment and gets fired.
Yep.
It just shows me, once again, you know, even with Obama in the presidency, which was better than Bush, There's still some main problems here, some huge ego issues.
Yeah.
I imagine that goes all the way up into the Pentagon now, and I'm just really curious to see why they've stepped up the program, start messing with the populace. You know, this has happened after I've written my book, The Inside Track. I wrote the mechanics of how this program was being enacted and the history of the program going all the way back to the 40s.
Right,
and
right.
Dr. Delgado, and now, and you know, even Joseph Mengele was doing a lot of experimentation, but he wasn't using. He actually had a couple boxes of which have been highly modified, and they're using satellite. But the administration techniques in Mengele's time was direct, you know, contact with electrodes in the brain, and that obviously that science got obsolete. Then they went to the implants, everybody had implants, and now they're using direct satellite beam.
Right, right.
And I'm just amazed at how many people are targets. Really.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to them, and I'm seeing some of them. You know, I'm talking to them in person, some of them. They come out and visit, and we talk.
Yeah.
And that's a long drive for a lot of them. Some of them come hundreds of miles. But, you know, we're here, and that's what we do, you know.
Right, right, right.
And they're targeting everybody. I mean, they don't really care. People that you'd never think would be a target are targets. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
that's incredible.
It's interesting.
That's really incredible.
I don't know how to, you know, at least we're learning now how to deal, you know, how to deal with these satellite transmissions. That's a new thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
It requires extra grounding with the star orbs. It requires multiple devices from us on our end. Causes strategic placement of our devices, which before we were kind of lackadaisical about where we would, you know, put one up or hook it up. Now it has to be specifically. I imagine some of my clients will be calling you at some point if they haven't already. I could name a couple that
I've had a couple call me, but I haven't had a lot call me, so I presume that they'll be calling very soon.
Yeah, I hand your phone number out to quite a few people now.
Sure, great. That's
so
great. I'm more than happy to help them as much as I can.
Yeah, and people, what I've seen, one of the things I've seen is it really spaces them out. It gets them into a space where they're almost hypnotized on an ET level. You know, makes me think that a lot of these ET, you know, abductions, which I know to be a fact, weren't actually ETs at all, but a highly sophisticated government, you know, mental ordinance, you know.
Well, it's interesting because the little devices that they were putting, and some of them were actually big devices, that they were putting into the brain, I've been able to blow those.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've been able to get a hold of them and just blow them entirely. But the newer stuff, I haven't really put my fingers on it yet. But I suspect one thing that happened for me that I can tell other people, when they tried to mess with me, when they tried to contact me, what I did was take my shoes off and step into the ground.
Yeah.
What a difference that makes.
Yeah, I know. I will wear no shoes a lot outside, you know.
Right. That's great, because I think we need that very badly. We, as human beings, we need to walk on the earth, and most of us are not walking on the earth, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah,
that'll really bring you and ground you down. So that's really important to do.
And look at
with the necklaces,
Native Americans, you know, they had those moccasins they wore, but they were very thin. You know what I mean? They weren't like a thick leather sole that insulates you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And did you ever see a Indian maiden wearing high heels?
No, never.
I don't think, you know, Chief Running Bear or Cochise or any of those great chiefs had their queens wearing high heels.
No, I don't think so.
And
the energy is really fantastic, Fred, and when you step on the ground, as you know, we can become very grounded very quickly. And most of us don't do that, and that's one of nature's callings, is to be grounded. And all we have to do is stand on the ground. That's all you have to do. It's so simple.
Well, we got a situation out here
where there, when we water a certain area, the ground turns into quicksand.
Does it really?
Yeah. And it can get, I stepped, right when I was working on the tennis court area one day, we were watering something, and we hit one of those, it turned on a quicksand area. And I sunk in instantly up to my knees.
Really?
Yeah, like zip, that quick.
Yeah.
I just sunk. I was walking across the muddy ground. And I hit the quicksand, which is in the mud. You can't tell the difference until you're in it.
Right, right.
You immediately are up to your knees. And, luckily I hit bottom, you know, at the bottom of the quicksand.
Yeah.
If you come out here, I'll show you where I know where there's a pool of it.
Okay.
I'll have to water it down. But actually, it was during the rainy season, so it didn't take that much water during the monsoon that they're having here. And, so you can have your own experience.
Okay.
It's scary because if you go up to your waist, you're not going to get out. Somebody's going to have to pull you out. It really feels good to be in it. Literally, you talk about grounding. Standing in 4 feet of quicksand, really, you're really grounded out.
Yeah.
The problem with it is you can't get out of the damn stuff. I mean, it's stuck.
Yeah.
It creates a vacuum and you're stuck.
Okay.
I had to literally fall over and get hold of some dry ground and crawl out of it. And that was a mess. I mean, I was all muddy, obviously. But I had to literally crawl out of it. I couldn't step out of it.
Yeah.
It was too much suction. Now,
wow.
I almost had to have somebody pull me out. And that's right here on our property. And then today I was out there working on the waterfall. I had to hose some rocks off. And there was a little deposit right next to where the waterfall is, and down I went. But this time I only went in about a foot and a half. That was in quicksand today, you know.
Wow. Now, is that close to where you live? I know it's on your property.
It's on my property.
Yeah, is it close to where you live?
What do you mean, on the property?
I mean, how many yards are you away from your house?
Oh, okay. It's pretty close. One deposit's about 200 feet. The other one about 600 feet. Yeah, I know where they are.
Okay. Okay. So you got to
ones that probably I don't know about unless they get wet.
Yeah.
A buddy's been falling asleep now. Can you believe that? After all that energy.
That's cute.
That's a bird.
That's a bird, babe. You go sleepy?
And the other one bit you. The other one, she's
she didn't really bite me, but she was down there. Bella, ever since she's laid eggs, she'll get moody, and you can pet her and everything, and she's great.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, she'll give you a nice bite.
Right, right, right.
Because of that, she's not on my shoulder anymore.
So,
the hens do. The Texas hens get that way. Now, she's mellowed out a lot, but if she doesn't want to go somewhere, I have a big heavy-duty glove, and I stuck the glove in there, and she bit the glove.
Really? Okay. And how
so
big is this bird?
I was
going to
bring her down here and have her behind me on her little stand, get her back on the air, but she didn't want to go on the air tonight. So.
Does she? Are they territorial? Evidently, they must be territorial.
Well, they only poop in a certain area, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're not. They're very clean. They don't drop feathers all over the place. So they have one section of the house, which is the kitchen and the dining rooms and the living rooms and. In another area, like a vestibule, that they have free rein on. And they have little ladders. So if we're eating, you know, at the in the kitchen, we have a big island out there. They'll come up the ladder sometimes and hang out with us while we eat, or even eat with us.
That's wild.
What we're having. If we got cheese or butter out, they're right there.
Yeah, really?
But we don't give much of that. These birds have to have fresh fruit 2 times a day. That's what they
have. Really?
Yeah, these birds don't eat seeds much. Well, if I have a pair of seeds, the seeds will kill these birds. You know?
Okay.
Give them grapes and mangoes. That's why they're so pretty.
Yeah. That's nice.
My buddy likes a beer at the end of the day to take the edge off.
Really?
He'll drink a little of it, you know. Good for him. Well, what happens is in the wild, there's berries. And these eclectus, I'm reading this great book on it. You got your thing out. I'll go get the book.
Okay, go ahead.
You got to get this book. Let me go get it. Hang on.
While we're waiting for Dr. Fred, I hope everybody's doing well. If there are any questions, anything you guys need to know more, please give us a call. We're more than happy to help you at any time, and we'll give you some free information. Anything you need to know, I'm more than happy to help you. So give us a call.
It's a lot cheaper than paying $400 an hour when they charge. Hey, look.
Yeah.
It's like this parrot. Can you see it?
Right.
Okay. This is... written by Graham Taylor. It's got lots of pictures in it, you know, and there's many species of them. They're
gorgeous birds. Look at those birds. They're magnificent.
Yeah. Yeah, look at this. Oh, no. He worked with an English lord, and look how high the trees are they climb. Guys climbing a tree. Can you see that?
Wow.
Yeah, 100 feet up in the air. These birds nest in trees, and they live in a rainforest.
Wow.
And that's 100 feet up to the nest.
Yes.
Yeah, so these birds are probably some of the most intelligent birds in the world. Pretty hard to be. They don't talk a lot like an African gray.
Right.
They can be free flight in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do that with these because we got hawks out here, but they could fly around the neighborhood and come back at night and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
Here's a picture of them up. But anyhow, the guy that wrote this book started back in 69 having private aviaries over in northeastern Australia.
Yeah.
And you get a license to, here's Buddy Boo. Here's Buddy. Or Buddy Boo. They get a license to, they bring babies out of the wild and raise them and then sell them and breed them.
Wow.
And they get a license to do that, and that's how come we have them. And he explains, you know, in aviaries and, you know, here's the babies right here, the tiny ones.
Right. They're beautiful.
He's been doing this for like, I don't know, since 69, and he has a big aviary. He worked for one of the English lords, and he helped do a zoo, and he has called black cockatoos and many different types of cockatoos along with Eclectus, but he mainly specializes in them. Graham Taylor is his name. You can get the book, Eclectus Parrots and Experience.
Beautiful.
When you get into a bird like these, they're very human-like. They understand the human language.
Yes.
You can tell them to do or not to do something. They'll do it or they won't do it, except when they're like Buddy, who gets excited and squawks. And start chewing on me. I mean, just relax. We're sleeping a minute. You saw the picture, now he's all revved up. He knows what I'm doing here. I'll put the book away so he'll calm down. Look at all them chicks in there. I want some of them women. and Eclectus males, by the way, will take care of 3 or 4 females.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's great. Let me give out our phone number, Fred, in case somebody wants to reach us. It's 1-800-729-2603. Please call us, and we're more than happy to help you out. Again, 1-800-729-2603. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. So, I remember we were talking about high heels, you know. Indians not wearing high heels and grounding.
Mm-hmm.
The high heel, it makes the woman's legs look smooth, but they're the hardest thing on your body you can possibly do to yourself.
Yeah.
And these women that wear them all their lives, especially the stiletto types,
mm-hmm.
end up with serious back problems when they get towards later middle age.
I would think, Fred, with all those heels like that.
Yeah, you got to balance them out. Do you have very many women that wear high heels as your clients?
I have only one that's about 5'3" that wears high heels. Everybody else, that's great stuff. I got mine over here, too.
Yeah.
But she's very small, Fred, and yummy, yummy. That is good stuff.
I'll have a little now. I haven't had any today yet. Takes the edge off this broadcasting business.
Mm.
Woo-hoo.
That's good
stuff. I don't
want to
drink too much of it because when I get done here, I got to go out and pour some more cement.
You're pouring cement? What are you doing with
the
cement?
Well, that's the waterfall. You have to pour cement. You know, I have this big pile of rocks, and then you have to make a path in it.
Right.
And then the water doesn't fall through the rocks. You have to cement it, and then I put crystals on it. I sprinkle little half-inch crystals on it. So when
right.
the water comes down the six-foot chute, it shoots
yeah.
over the crystals, these little bitty crystals, thousands of them.
Yeah.
And it will charge the whole neighborhood up with a white light and a big blue aura at night. And when I put some
that's
lights
beautiful.
On it, I built a waterfall over in Laguna Beach with two waterfalls, but much smaller than here. Obviously, the yard's much smaller. And that thing charged up the whole neighborhood. This will charge up the whole valley.
Yeah. Talking about charging up, my nuclear receptor, and I wore a friend's nuclear receptor, and I, you know, as you know, I could see the energy in the back of the receptor, so I can see the light. Anyhow, the receptor is putting out a tremendous more light, Fred, but there is three dots above the center of the hole. I would say maybe a quarter of an inch. And there are three little dots, that, and I look at it very closely. And what it is, it's energy inside of energy, and it's really bright, Fred. So I'm just telling you, I just saw that the other day. So in other words, you have a light in the, that surrounds the whole nuclear receptor. Then you have a light that comes in through the hole, which, you know, it just lights up everything. And then right above the hole, within a quarter of an inch, there's three little lights, Fred, and those lights contain a tremendous amount of energy. So that's new for me.
All right, you mean right out of the center of it?
Well, it's not coming from the center. The center is bringing the light through, but there's light inside the light. So in other words, what I'm saying is the light is very bright, brighter than what it's been, but and just above the center, there's three little holes. And those holes have tremendous light that are coming out of those holes. So I don't know what's going on, but it's really tremendous to see.
Well, yeah, you got a diamond, though, right?
Yes.
So it's coming out of the diamond part.
Could be. Could be, Fred, but there's the light within the light is very powerful.
Well, but, you know, in the Promise book, I don't know how many people out there have read. I don't have the Promise book here to show everybody. I'll get it next week and hold it up. That's a novelized, fictionalized version of how Pleiadians brought the nuclear receptor to the Earth.
Right.
1980.
Right.
And,
right.
That was a real interesting time. They also gave us the flamethrower about the same time. And
yes.
What I'm trying to say here is that that receptor, the emerald, let me backtrack a little bit. You go down to Arkansas and you go into a big shop and you're looking at crystals. There'll be like a master crystal there.
Right.
In their shop, and you want to buy it, they won't sell it to you for any money. You can offer them anything, and they won't sell it because it protects their shop.
Right.
It's a protective device. And you know you've got a master crystal.
Yes, yes.
And waste physics calls that now because now that we have gone from remote viewing to telepathy to instantaneous communication, like the phone rings, and you know who's on the other line.
Right.
Okay. Because you've quantumly entangled with them. Well, the entangling
yep.
process through crystals, whether it be a gemstone or a crystal like you've got, or I've got a master crystal here,
mm-hmm.
The process is called spontaneous parametric down conversion. And what that does, it splits the, consciousness is on one level is a photon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And these photons move. If there's a photon in my brain synchronized to one in your brain, and we're twins, we might open up our mouths and say the same thing at the same time.
Same time, right. Yeah.
Or we might talk to somebody, and you'd start a sentence, and I'd finish it. Okay?
Yes.
And now we've come to the point in our society, in our revolution around the Pleiades, in our upscaling the Higgs field in the electrons in our hydrogen atoms, our consciousness,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that now we are becoming aware of this SPDC process. And it was named by physics back recently when Alan asked Elena Aspect, a researcher, was able to demonstrate teleportation in a laboratory using a classic physics connection and a quantum connection in equipment, showing that electrons or photons respond instantaneously regardless of distance, okay, which Einstein called spooky action at a distance. So what happens is now, when the Pleiadians gave us the first receptors that we had from the Pleiades were emeralds.
Yeah.
And they gave us those. And so, and they took them back, but bottom line was that as under certain conditions, the emerald, like the one I have on, will start lasing and create this SPDC process, and a beam will come right out of it. It'll shoot out of it.
Okay.
Okay? I've had more than one situation where people, more so with women, because they're more fragile than men, have been in situations where they were wearing their receptors, and strangers, you know, like in a parking structure or something in the late afternoon or early evening, and they felt negative energy, or even in some cases were actually accosted by strangers. And when this happened, the receptor that they wore would send a beam of energy out, which they would see, and it would strike the aggressive person and neutralize their energy, and they would turn and run away the other direction. And this has happened more than once.
Oh, that's great, Fred, to know. I can pass that on to people.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, we never tell people about this. The only way that people find out about it is when they read the Promise Book, because it explains in
there a few
of the times when it happened, you know, to me earlier and some other people around me, and when we first had the original Pleiadian model.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so,
well, they didn't want us to have that anyhow. That was a little bit too powerful, I think, that Pleiadian model.
Yeah, they took them back. But
yes,
anyway, it had a really tricky bridge. The back of it wasn't too special, but the bridge was really trick on it. So what we see now is the fact that this happens from time to time, probably maybe one incident or two a year, not a lot.
Right.
Happens. And we'll sometimes never hear about it, obviously, but a lot of times we do hear about it. And people, they're speechless. I mean, they say, this thing saved me somehow. I knew I was in trouble, but beam came out and this aggressive person turned and about face and was gone.
Yeah.
So
that's
what it sounds like to me you're playing with now, that energy.
Well, the energy is these three little dots. It's like an energy within an energy. And that's very possible that's what it is, Fred. I've never seen it before other than a couple days ago, and it's very, very bright. So I'll continue working with it and see what it does.
Well, if you get a reflection, like I say, off a prism, and it shoots a rainbow on the wall because the sun's hitting it.
Okay.
Okay, that is a that's a primary light source.
Okay.
The photons themselves are a secondary light source.
Right, right.
The quantum energies, quantum photons, which mean smallest, you typically don't see those. And that's the energy that carries the intelligence, that gives you the instantaneous connection when you have two people hooked up that way through quantum entanglement. That's what you're describing. Quantum of those particles that people experience.
Yes.
They're having, but you're just visualizing them, that's all.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Which is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
I've seen a beam or two come out of some of the ones I've worn, but not. It doesn't happen very often. And you got to go kind of quick, too, to see it. Otherwise, you'll miss it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is the Ankh that you were wearing is I could see your third eye opening and then the third eye just opening up your face, because what happens is, when you become advanced, your whole face becomes a third eye.
Yeah.
And so that's what was happening with you. It was just absolutely amazing to see.
Yeah, we just got our first. Before we had zircons in the ones that I was wearing, but we got one in today for a client that had diamonds in it. Boy, did that puppy generate some energy. Wow.
I bet it did. I bet it did.
Well, it's going to be shipped out, but I mean, it really kicks some butt.
Oh, I can imagine. Because the energy is very powerful anyhow, so the diamonds are just going to make it really, really nice.
Yeah, they have 22 small diamonds on the bridge, and then, of course, a one-carat bridge, you know, diamond in the center.
Right.
Had the
right.
carats up on the bridge. That's 1.6 carats on the bridge.
Yeah, wow.
So you almost got almost 3 carats of diamond energy there. 2.6 carats of diamond energy when you get one
wow.
of those. And boy, I'll tell you, that's what I want, one of those.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
thinking about it. As a matter of fact, just a second ago, I had pulled down, and I'm looking at these beautiful necklaces. That's just, they're magnificent.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really gorgeous. Got some beautiful, beautiful jewelry. Just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's the stuff that really works.
Yeah. Yeah, just wonderful. Fred, we're getting close, buddy.
Yeah, I know. You better put your phone number out. We got about a minute left.
Yeah, if you need some help, please don't hesitate. Give me a call. It's 585-746-8321. Thank you, Fred.
Yeah, and... I'm repeating myself here. I don't know which microphone that was coming in on. So anyway, let me turn this thing down over here. We are going to be out of time here. You're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, which is kind of cool. Steve Barish and Buddy Boo, my co-host. And we are having lots of fun. My phone number is 1-800-729-2603. Our website is Theradyne.com. If you can't find that, just type in Dr. Fred Bell in the search engine, and you will actually go to our website. It's all over the internet. You're listening to Michael Hamilton's song, Ships of Soul, on the Andromeda with Love album that I produced and played on. It's available at Theradyne.com. Until next week, let's listen to a little music. Sunday night, we have our canned show, which has totally information. It's not information about one thing. We talk about everything in science and health. That's on Sunday night at 9 o'clock on this very station. And we got about a minute left. Here. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.